Patrick, nice to see you.
It's great to be back with you.
Well, you've got a new office, and I can't help but notice over your right shoulder, you have positioned the Green Bay Packer helmet. Any reason?
You're here.
I
actually have my Paul Hornung Vince Lombardi poster right outside of your camera shot, though. So we got a lot of Packer paraphernalia here.
I bet, especially after 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. All right, speaking of Wisconsin, there's a lot of activity back in our home state mm-hmm. in Madison, protests. They've been sent out for the Democratic members of the Assembly or the Senate to come vote. What are your thoughts about what's going on?
Our governor, Scott Walker, is trying to fix these problems before they get out of control. If we want to have jobs in Wisconsin, if we want to have a good business climate, we have to get it at the runaway spending. We are broke in Wisconsin. You know, same kind of problems we have in Washington. So he's trying to go at the drivers of our government spending, and that is our public employees have benefit packages far in excess of what their private sector counterparts have. And what he's asking for are contributions about half of the private sector average. Actually, their health care contributions would be half of what the federal workers pay.
Isn't, though, the fact that they're protests sort of a instructive to us in that maybe it'd be a good idea sort of like to cut everybody across the board, whether it's here in Washington in budget, just take a number, 10%, everyone loses 10% or whatever. This sort of picking and choosing is what pits everybody against everybody,
well,
and special interests against special interests. Everyone's got a special program.
There's a point to that, but also some programs have gotten really big plus-ups, meaning huge spending increases. So if you want to go, for instance, in Wisconsin across the board, but the public employees have not been contributing hardly anything at all to their pension or to their health care benefits, but everybody else in Wisconsin is doing that, across the board isn't that fair. Here in Washington, we're looking at government spending programs that got double and triple digit spending increases, but some programs didn't. So is across the board fair to those programs
in
over just the last 2 years?
Well, what if we were to go back like 2 years? I mean, I'm just picking that number and say, okay, we'll go back to the numbers of 2 years.
That's what we're doing right now.
And everyone loses, everyone gets cut a certain percentage. Everyone's going to squawk and complain.
Right. So what happened, President Obama raised domestic discretionary spending. That's spending on government agency budgets 24% over the last 2 years. He threw the stimulus on top, and that's an 84% increase in government agency budgets. And we're trying to pull that back. We want to go back 24% lower, so we go back to where spending was pre-bailout, pre-binge levels for the rest of this fiscal year. That's exactly what we're doing here on the floor today in Congress.
Does anybody ever follow up in terms of where the money goes? I mean, I hear these stories. I got an email last night from a viewer who said that she worked for the government for 30-some years, and every year when it came time to sort of figure out how much money they had in the budget, they'd have to quickly rush out and redo the floor so they'd use up all their money so they didn't get cut for the next year. I mean I'm getting horror stories in these emails about how government employees want to spend all the money it's allocated or they're going to lose it next time.
I just got a horror story about that from some Pentagon people about how they're just trying to rush the money out the door so they don't get cut, so they make sure they can have the same amount next year. This is a problem that requires budget process reform. This summer, we're going to be bringing legislation to the floor to deal with this so we don't have an incentive for bureaucrats and bureaucracies to just blow all their money out the door. And sometimes they don't. Last year, because of the huge spending increases, we had about $1.4 trillion in what we call unobligated balances. At the end of the fiscal year, the government threw so much money at these agencies, they couldn't even spend it all. So what we're trying to do right now is get a lot of that money back for the taxpayer to get spending down. But yes, the way spending works around here, it's broken. I want to go to a different kind of a spending system, biennial budgeting and things like that, because all we do in Congress is spend money, and we spend so much little time overseeing how that money is spent. And that is part of the new rules that we're putting in place here. More oversight to actually see how the money is being spent instead of just spending and spending and spending and spending.
Well, it's so much easier to spend somebody else's money.
That's right.
I mean, that's the horrible part of it. What about building incentive programs so that people who can find waste within the government? Because there's tremendous waste. We did a story last night in which apparently about $39 million the IRS is fraudulent money that gets paid to people in prison. $39 million last year. I won't go back through that because that has me pretty much, we've exhausted that one. There's so much government waste. Why not build some sort of incentive?
That's exactly what we're working on. So we're going to have a lot of hearings on this. We want to look at ideas on how to do this. You know, there are whistleblower protection systems that actually incentivize people to do whistleblower on corporate fraud.
But give them some cash.
They get some of the cash.
That's
right. So we're looking at what are the right kinds of incentive structures to encourage people in these bureaucracies to go after the waste, to spend less money and save money, and what are the incentives? So we're looking at doing just that, and we want to make sure we get it right so that we actually don't have people just, you know, doing things for the wrong incentives. We want to find a way to get the taxpayers' interest aligned with the bureaucracy's interest, and right now they're not.
You've said that you're disappointed in President Obama, and in fact, even
I'm
the
deeply disappointed.
Deeply disappointed. Okay, and even the Washington Post has gone after his budget, saying that there are gimmicks in his budget. Why do you think he has his budget as it is?
It's a good point. Good question. There's two schools of thought on this. One is that he dislikes the size of government he's got right now, and he wants to hang on to the gains he's gotten over the last 2 years.
That's the bad motive, right?
That's the theory here. The other one is he just chose not to lead on getting this debt and deficit under control, and he's going to wait for Republicans to do something and then beat us up if and when we do that. I don't really care what his motive is. What I don't like is the result. He gave us a budget that raises taxes $1.6 trillion, adds $13 trillion to the debt. He leaves office with the debt and deficit far worse than when he got it. More debt will accumulate under his presidency than all prior presidents combined. The problem, Greta, is if we don't get this deficit and debt under control, it really hurts our economy and job creation. Deficit reduction, debt reduction means job creation, because every time you run a big deficit like we are now, that just means more tax increases and interest rate increases tomorrow. So where he has failed to lead, where he's fallen down on leading on this, I mean, even the Washington Post said he punted and he ducked from his responsibilities. We're going to do that. We're going to provide the leadership, and we're going to show the country how we think we ought to deal with this out-of-control spending, how we ought to deal with this deficit and debt so we can get prosperity and job creation back in this country.
All right. When you do your budget come spring.
Yeah, in the spring, right.
Social Security. Some of my viewers are very upset when it's referred to as entitlement. They say, well, we paid into it. It's hardly
entitlement.
It's, you know, it's my money is the theory. What do you intend to do about Social Security in your budget?
Well, Social Security is really not a big driver of our debt problems. It's the health care entitlement programs that are the big drivers of our debt problems. Social Security in and of itself is going insolvent. And so something has to be done to make it solvent. There is not a plan in Congress that anybody has introduced that I know of that cuts Social Security benefits for anybody in and near retirement. So if anything is even done to make Social Security more solvent, it will not affect people over the age of 55. It will not affect people who are in and near retirement, who already organized their lives around these programs, who've already retired. The question is, are we going to do things to these entitlement programs to prevent them from going bankrupt, so people in the younger generations like you and I actually have a program we can count on? But Social Security is not really a big driver of our debt. It's the other programs that are the big drivers of our debt.
Well, if health care is one of them, then I guess it really does make a difference for the Supreme Court to get off the bench and make a decision one way or the other so that planning can be done accordingly, whether it's constitutional or not, so that efforts can be made to sort of to figure out the budget to meet our demands, our nation's demands.
If we don't get this debt under control, according to the General Accountability Office, we go about $10 trillion deeper in the hole every year we delay fixing this problem. They are telling us our unfunded liabilities, and this is a weird number that no one's really going to put their minds around, but is about $88.6 trillion. $5.3 trillion of that is Social Security. The rest is all these other entitlements, the health care entitlements. So what we know is the next generation will get a diminished country, lower living standards, if we don't fix this. And if we don't get this under control right now, our economy is going to suffer. If we fix these problems now, we can prevent pain, problems from hitting people who are already retired, who have enjoyed these programs. So in order to save these programs and make them solvent, you got to reform them. And in order to get the debt and the deficit under control, you got to reform these entitlement programs. And that's the best way to help the economy today and give our kids and our grandkids a better future.
One last question. If the budget isn't under control, are you prepared to let the government get shut down except for to essential employees? I mean, is that, are you, because there's a lot of the Republicans are pointing at the Democrats and Democrats are pointing at the Republicans. We're operating off a continuing resolution until the end of the year. What are you willing to do?
So we are not interested in seeing the government shut down. That's not an objective or a goal of anybody's. But at the same time, we are not interested in rubber stamping these really elevated levels of spending. If President Obama gets to keep the spending binge that he muscled through here the last 2 years, going into the future, that's about another $1 trillion of spending on government agencies that we just don't have.
Will you do everything you can then to stop that?
Yes.
And even shut down the government?
We want to cut spending. I would simply say this. Is President Obama so serious that he wants to keep all of this borrowed spending money at the expense of shutting the government down? I mean, clearly the problem we have here is spending, not taxing. And is the president so beholden to these massive spending increases that he's willing to have a government shutdown? I mean, really, the onus of the burden, I think, also equally applies to him as well.
How about the debt ceiling? Are you willing to raise that debt ceiling?
So that's going to be in spring. So we got a lot of things happening around here. Government shutdown CR is March. Debt ceiling April, May. That, too, is a situation where, because of the spending binge that's occurred around here lately for the past 2 years, something we didn't support, now we're running up against that credit card limit. Now, no one wants to see the government default. The United States will pay its obligations. At the same time, we're not interested in rubber stamping big government. We want serious spending cuts and controls in conjunction with increasing the debt limit.
So we would draw a line in the sand with the debt ceiling.
Yeah, we are not going to just nakedly increase the debt limit. It's basically like maxing out your credit card and then going out and get another credit card and maxing that one out without addressing the root cause of the problem, which is spending. We need to get a handle on spending and get a dent on our deficit and debt as we deal with these issues.
Congressman, thank you, sir.
Thank you.